Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
September 4th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, RAW plus JPEG. Welcome back to another edition of The Digital Story. I have some fun stuff to talk about today. We're going to look at file formats. You know, we have a lot of discussion about RAW versus JPEG, but we really haven't talked a whole lot about RAW plus JPEG. Now, RAW plus JPEG is an option that you have on a lot of digital SLRs that allow you to capture in RAW mode and at the same time create a JPEG of that very same image. Now, in the old days of digital photography, a few months ago, because that's the way time works in digital photography these days, but in the old days of digital photography, RAW plus JPEG was a fairly important mode because, you know, RAW was a pain in the patoot to process. And because RAW was difficult to process, and for people who needed to turn their photos around quickly, having a JPEG of the same image was a very, very good thing. Because they could get that JPEG to wherever it had to go, and then later on, if they needed to, they could take those RAW files and process them, maybe to the point of photography perfection, if they wanted to. So RAW plus JPEG in the old days of digital photography was a pretty important thing. But how about today? How about with applications such as Lightroom and Aperture, do we need the RAW plus JPEG mode? Well, I'm going to take a look at that today. The answer is, well, that depends. There are some times when RAW plus JPEG is worth having. And believe it or not, one of the primary reasons has to do with some of the new equipment that's out now. So we'll take a look at RAW plus JPEG, and then I will let you decide for yourself. Before I get going on this scintillating topic, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Boink Software, the makers of Photomagico, the best slideshow software out there for the Mac, and also ExpoDisc. And this is the tool to use with your custom white balance setting on your camera to get the best possible color in any natural lighting or artificial lighting situation, but when you're not using a flash. So thanks a lot to ExpoDisc and Photomagico. They both have tiles on every page of the Digital Story. You can't miss it. Just click on the tile and it'll take you right over to their landing page. I also want to take a moment to talk about this month's photo assignment. It's a brand new month. It's September. It's time for a new photo assignment. Okay, I have a good one for you this month. What we're going to do this month is duotone. Duotone is the photo assignment for this month. Now, I'm doing this for a couple reasons. One, because I think the images are really going to be interesting. And two, because it gives me a chance to sort of discuss how to make duotones and some of the fun ways to do it. Now, really, all I'm talking about with a duotone for the purposes of this assignment is basically a black and white photo that's been toned. Okay, so in some of the modern applications, for instance, if you choose the sepia conversion function in iPhoto, then you have created basically a duotone. It's been converted to black and white with a sepia tone added. So it doesn't have to be something that's like a big headache. It can be as simple as pulling up a photo and, you know, just choosing sepia or one of these, you know, the tone corrections or enhancements, I should say, and then you're done. Of course, you know, you might want to do a little exposure and contrast adjustment, all that good stuff. Or, you know, there are some very creative versions of this in applications such as Lightroom and Photoshop and Aperture. and well, even iPhoto, actually, for that matter, that are a lot of fun and where you can really kind of create something interesting. Again, it's super, super, super very easy, but yet some interesting results. So what I'm going to do, I will do at least one blog post on some ideas for easy ways to create duotones, and I'm going to try to do a podcast too. I might even try to do next week's podcast on this also. That way you'll have lots of ammo and you'll be ready to go and you can create something really cool. In the meantime, you might want to start looking at the photos that you have and maybe thinking about one that would be, you know, good choice for this assignment. And a good rule of thumb, even if you haven't practiced making duotones yet, is just look for something that converts to black and white well. A lot of times, anything that will convert to black and white well will make a nice duotone too. So that's the assignment for this month. If you already know how to make them, then you know, you're off to the races. You can start playing now. And if you don't, just sit tight. Keep watching the digital story. I'm going to publish some stuff on there, and I'm going to try to do a podcast too. We'll get you up to speed so you can submit something fun. This is a photo assignment to increase our skills, to expand our abilities, or something like that. Anyway, okay, so I hope you participate. I think it's going to be a dynamite gallery. I'm working on the August gallery right now, Intersection, the last month's photo assignment. It's nice. It's lovely. It's great. I love it because a lot of people said, well, you know, you'll probably get shots that look like this, so I'm doing something different. And almost everyone said that, so we hardly got any shots that look like this. We got almost everything is different, and I just love it when you all do that. So I'll get August up as soon as I can. In the meantime, the assignment for September is duotone, and there'll be more on that later. Okay, let's get to RAW plus JPEG. RAW plus JPEG. Okay, now, first of all, where do you set this up? Where do you find this? Well, when you go to your camera menu, let's say that you have a Digital Rebel, and you know, you go to File Format, RAW plus JPEG will be there. You have all the different JPEG types to choose from, and then you'll have RAW, and then you'll have also RAW plus JPEG. Sometimes you get additional options, such as RAW plus a big JPEG, or RAW plus a medium-sized JPEG, or RAW plus a small-sized JPEG, and you can pick what you want. A lot of times, all I do is pick, if I have the option, like for instance on my Canon 5D, the RAW plus small JPEG, and I even have the option of a fine mode or a standard mode, and of course that's a quality setting. So let's say I pick RAW plus small in fine mode, I still get a 2496 by 1664 JPEG, which is almost a 2 megabyte file. So it's still a pretty healthy JPEG. You know, at those dimensions, I could make an 11 by 16 at 150 ppi, 11 by 16 print, or I could make a 7 by 10 print at 240 ppi. Or I can make even a 5x8 at 300 ppi. So that small file, you know, that small setting for the 5D, of course the 5D is a 12 megapixel camera, right? So I guess its idea of small might be different than maybe some other cameras, but the small on that one is 2496 by 1664. And the point that I'm making is, don't automatically decide that you're going to go with the biggest size JPEG possible if you do RAW plus JPEG, because as you shoot these things, the bigger files will add up, especially since you're already adding a file to the RAW file. And that's a point that I probably should address right now, is that what's actually happening? Well, what's actually happening when you shoot RAW plus JPEG is, of course, you capture the RAW file, which in the case of my 5D is a, you know, 12 megabyte file. And then it's also creating, the camera's also creating a JPEG around between 1.5 megabytes and 2 megabytes. So for every picture I take, instead of just 12 megabytes for the RAW file, I'm actually capturing close to 14 megabytes. But I have two files. I have the RAW file, which I can do all the fun RAW stuff with, and I have a JPEG, too, that I can, you know, do JPEG-y kind of things with. Other cameras, for instance, my Panasonic FZ8, a camera that I play around a lot with, I talked about it last week, actually, because it shoots 16:9, it also shoots RAW. One of the things that I like about it, a compact camera that captures in RAW. How cool. Now, when I go down through my different file options with the FZ8, I have a couple JPEG options, and then I have RAW. So I pick RAW, and what the FZ8 does, it creates a JPEG for me anyway. It doesn't give me the option of yes, creating a JPEG, or no, creating a JPEG. It just thinks that I need a JPEG, and therefore it creates one. And not only does it creates one at full size. Okay, I sort of learned this the hard way, because I was shooting RAW with it, and one day I looked at my memory card, and what are all these files doing? Well, half of them were RAW files, and half of them were JPEG files. And, you know, so I had two of every shot, and the JPEGs were full-size versions of what I had captured in RAW. In the case of the FZ8, then, if I want to shoot in RAW, I'm going to shoot in RAW plus JPEG, and I have no choice. Okay, so then I'm going, well, what's the upside to this? There must be something positive about this, because at first I'm going, I don't want the JPEGs. I just want the RAW files. What are some of the good reasons why I would want a RAW plus JPEG? Well, there are a couple, actually. There are a couple. And I'm going to start out with my favorite one, which is I like these compact printers that you can get now. And I'm actually testing a new one from HP, the HP PhotoSmart A620. I'll be writing a review on it real soon. Maybe even by the time this podcast goes up, I'll have the review ready, but within a day or so. And it's a very little printer. It looks like a little boombox, actually. It even has a handle that flips up on the top, but it looks like a mini boombox. And it can make prints up to 5x7. It has an inkjet cartridge, and then you can put in, you know, the various different types of paper. And then in the front of the PhotoSmart A620, you also have a whole bunch of memory card slots. So literally, you can take the memory card out of your camera, put it in the A620, and then here's the fun part. It has an LCD screen that you can flip up, and you can go through all the pictures on your memory card, pick the one that you want to print or the ones that you want to print. You can even make some little adjustments and so forth, and then hit the print button, and then out comes a 4x6 or a 5x7. Oops, I think I cut myself off there when I was saying 5x7. But yeah, so out comes either a 4x6 or a 5x7, and they're really nice. They're very, very nice prints. So here's the deal. Here's why I'm bringing this up. These compact printers, and I've used a bunch of them, can only print from JPEGs. So if you take the memory card out of your camera and you put it in the compact printer, or even if you use the cable from your camera to the printer, they can only print JPEGs that are on the memory card. They can't print the RAW files, because, and if you stop and think about it, you understand why, because the RAW files haven't been processed yet. And certainly, these little printers that are, you know, they do some pretty amazing stuff, but they're not going to process your RAW files for you. So they can only process the JPEGs. However, you know, the dilemma is that, okay, I want to use these little printers because they're a lot of fun, but I don't want to shoot in JPEG only, because I may also want to make a big print from something, you know, a fine art print using my, you know, Epson R2400 or my HP 9180 or whatever I happen to be able to get my hands on. Well, of course. So RAW plus JPEG fits nicely into the scenario, because you can shoot in RAW plus JPEG. And in the case of my 5D, I can even shoot in the smaller size JPEG. And then when I put my memory card into the printer, let's say into the PhotoSmart A620, then it'll recognize the JPEGs on there. It ignores the raw files, and I can do all the fun sort of consumery stuff, which is make prints right on the spot. It allows me to put frames on them if I want. I can add some type to them. I can even add clip art. I mean, it allows you to do all sorts of really fun stuff right off the memory card. You don't have to even fire up the computer. You can just, you know, play with the computer later and do your serious raw work later. But if you just want to have some photographs to hand off to mom before she leaves the party, then you put the memory card in there, make your photographs, and off you go. And then later on, do your serious work. So this is a great scenario for shooting raw plus JPEG. This is one that I really like and is probably the best one. The only other one that I ever run across, and this was more applicable a few years ago, when someone had workflows, let's say a newspaper photographer, where he had to get the JPEGs, you know, to his editor right away, and so he would have some kind of workflow where the RAWs would go one direction and the JPEGs would go the other direction, and he would fulfill his assignment quickly but yet still have some high-quality stuff. And there are still some of those legacy workflows around, although they're not as necessary with a new application such as Aperture and Lightroom, but some of them still are around, and that would be another instance where maybe RAW plus JPEG made some sense. Now, when RAW plus JPEG does not make sense is, in my opinion, if you're a hardcore Apple Aperture user or a hardcore Adobe Lightroom user, you don't use compact printers or have any of the sort of immediate JPEG needs, then using RAW plus JPEG just, it doesn't add up for me. And I'll tell you why. What happens with both Aperture and Lightroom is that it will download both files. So if you shoot RAW plus JPEG, what it will show you in the catalog, you know, when you look on the catalog page, the thumbnail page of either application, it will show you the RAW files. It will interpret them and show them to you. But it still downloads the JPEGs and it still keeps them on your hard drive. And so all you're using is the RAW anyway. And these applications are so easy to use in terms of raw decoding that, you know, for every picture you're taking, you're adding an extra 2 megabytes or so unnecessarily because you don't need to. Now, Lightroom has this one interesting preference where if you want, you can check a box in preferences to show the JPEGs side by side with the raw files in your thumbnail catalog. Now, I don't know why you'd want to do this, because basically it's going to be two pictures of the same thing. One is going to be the RAW and one is going to be the JPEG. But you can have them there if you want to see them. But the fact of the matter is you really don't have any control whether or not to download those JPEGs in the first place. You're going to get them whether you want them or not. Aperture has an interesting function too, that if you're shooting RAW plus JPEG, it grabs them all and it puts them in the folders deep inside your project container. And then when you're playing around with it, you can make copies or versions, you know, of either the RAW file, or you can make a copy of the JPEG and work on it. So it recognizes those JPEGs, it knows they're there, and it even will let you fiddle with them. The thing is, since both Aperture and Lightroom are non-destructive workflows, again, there's no reason why you would have to fiddle around with the JPEG instead of the RAW file, because you're not going to destruct either one anyway, so why not just have one and save yourself the disk space? So that is certainly the scenario where I don't think you should shoot RAW plus JPEG. Now, here's something you'll find interesting. If you're curious about shooting RAW plus JPEG, let's say that you really do like the compact printer option, and there are times when you really do want to print off your memory cards and just not fool with the computer altogether. A really good application for people that want to do this and want to shoot RAW at the same time, believe it or not, is the latest version of iPhoto. iPhoto 7, which is part of iLife 08, sometimes we call it iPhoto 08, But it's really iPhoto 7. The latest version of iPhoto, it's very interesting. When you put a memory card, when you connect it to your computer, either the camera or the memory card reader, and you launch iPhoto, what iPhoto will show you in the import window are both the JPEGs and the RAW files. So if you shoot RAW plus JPEG, it'll show both of them to you. So then you could pick just the RAW files, leave the JPEGs alone, only bring in the RAW files and not add that extra disk space to your, or not take up extra disk space on your hard drive. I think this is really interesting because this allows you then to shoot RAW plus JPEG, use the JPEGs for your compact photo printer and the little fun stuff you want to do right off the memory card, and then when it's time to upload them to your computer, only pick the RAW files because you're going to, you know, reformat the memory card at that point anyway. You will have already done all your fun printing and all that kind of stuff. And then you have the RAW files there in iPhoto, of course, where you can make more prints and do whatever you want later on. It's funny, humble little iPhoto is actually one of the more versatile ways to go for people who want to shoot RAW plus JPEG because it can handle both of them elegantly and even gives you an option to leave the JPEGs behind when you upload from your memory card. Another fairly elegant way to go is with Bridge 2.0, which is part of Photoshop CS3. The new version of Bridge has a really cool function in it where it allows you to upload images from the camera. It has a camera uploader. You just go up to File and import images from camera, and it opens up a little camera uploader application, and it will show you all the thumbnails, both the RAWs and the JPEGs that are on the memory card, and it will allow you to only import what you want, you know, and it does it via checkboxes. So, you know, usually what I do is I uncheck them all, and then I'll go through and just check the RAW files, which is basically every other file, and import them. And, you know, by the way, this photo importer that's in Bridge 2.0 is really nice. It allows you to add a metadata preset. So you have all your name and copyright information and everything added to those files when you bring them in. It's very similar to Lightroom and actually uses basically the same presets as Lightroom. It allows you to change the file name on import. And a lot of times what I do, of course, is I keep the original file number, but I'll change, you know, the prefix. So if it's a bunch of pictures of someone named George, then I'll have, you know, George underscore 6542 dot, you know, CR2 or whatever. So it allows you to do that. It allows you to choose the location on your hard drive where they go. It allows you to create custom subfolders and puts them in there. And this photo uploader utility in Bridge 2.0 will even make backup copies of your images that you're bringing in and put them somewhere else, like if you have an external drive connected. It's very, very handy. It's very nice. And if you're not using Aperture or Lightroom or iPhoto, then it's something that I would take a look at because it's a pretty versatile little tool. And it's also one of the tools that allow you to shoot RAW plus JPEG and not add all these extra images to your hard drive. You can control it at the import after you've had your fun with the JPEGs. So just to wrap up on this, let me just recap my recommendations here. That normally I don't recommend that you shoot RAW plus JPEG if you're someone who's using a good photo management tool such as Adobe Lightroom or Apple Aperture, because managing RAW files, it's so easy that you just don't need to add the extra megabytes to your hard drive for those JPEGs. So for those folks, I'd say RAW plus JPEG, that's the olden days. Now, for folks that want to play with these compact printers and so forth, I think RAW plus JPEG is really interesting because it gives you things to play with. You can, You can, you know, make prints. You can plug your camera into the TV and do a slideshow with those JPEGs. You have all those wonderful JPEG-like options right there on your memory card. If you're shooting RAW plus JPEG, an application that you might want to have on hand then is either iPhoto, which is Mac only, or Adobe Bridge 2.0, which is both Mac and PC. And I know I've mentioned it before, but just to reiterate, Aperture is Mac only, and Lightroom is both Mac and PC. So PC users definitely have some great tools available in Lightroom and Bridge 2.0. So those are, you know, that's if you're going to shoot RAW plus JPEG, you might want to look at those applications so that you have some control over, how much information you're adding to your hard drive every time you upload a memory card. And I do think that these new printers, these new compact printers, are dynamite. And keep your eyes out. I'm going to have the review for the PhotoSmart A620 up pretty soon. And take a look at it. It's a very affordable printer that allows you to put just about every type of memory card available into it, that gives you a photo quality prints up to 5x7 right off the card, or you can plug your camera into it. It's very, very nice. It has lots of good options. And it is probably the best case to date for shooting RAW plus JPEG. So I'll let you decide from here. If you want to add your comments to the show notes, please do, especially if you think of a scenario that I haven't included today, where it would be a good idea. Or if you just have something more to say, please do. RAW plus JPEG, I guess it's still alive, isn't it? Okay, last thing I just want to mention is that I've got a nice little flurry of grab shots lately. I really appreciate you guys stepping up to the plate when I put the call out. But keep them coming. Don't stop now. They're getting better all the time. And I want to remind you also about The Digital Story, our public group on Flickr. And you can submit photos there for everyone to see. All the photos that go onto the Flickr public group show up on the member photo gallery on The Digital Story. We have them hooked together. And it's a very nice way to get your shots on The Digital Story. And those discussion forums are a lot of fun, too. Please participate in the discussion forums if something comes up that you're interested in. Or if you want to start a topic that you want to discuss, please do. And we'll all try to chime in and give you some information. And for those photos that are in there that have the critique tag, let them know what you think and try to give your fellow Virtual Camera Club members some constructive criticism, and so that we all can become better photographers. So that will do it for this week. Oh my gosh, RAW plus JPEG. Next week, maybe I'll see if I can tackle Duotone. We'll keep things interesting. Go take some pictures, have some fun, and I will see you here next time. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.